We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes, this is the Black Real Estate Dialogue.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. We're going to jump right into this one. So with this one, I do want to address some of the concerns that many of you are having about real estate. So I have a list right here that I'm going to go through. I'm going to respond to these questions. I'm going to respond to these concerns, and I'm sure that it'll help you because it's very possible that some of these concerns that people have mentioned are concerns that you have. So I'm going to address each one of them and give my thoughts and just some things to consider. So let's jump right into it. So the first question is, or the first comment is the concern about not knowing which state or town someone should pick to start investing. So this is a really good question. So the way I'm going to approach this is with out-of-state investing, because most people would probably think about it in that particular way, unless you want to invest in your local area. But in terms of investing out of state, here are a couple of things that I would share. So as you all know, I invest out of state. I've been investing out of state for a little over 5 years now. And there's several things that you want to keep in mind when you're looking at a city state to invest in. So the first thing is if it's a landlord-friendly state. And what I mean by that in particular is when you look at the laws, do they favor landlords? Or do they favor the tenants? The ideal situation is investing in a state that favors the landlords, right? Because things will happen, things will come up, but you want to do your best to make sure that the law is on your side. So that's the first thing that I would consider. Then the next thing I would consider is when you look at cities and states within that, cities and towns within that state, is it growing? And what I mean by growing, not necessarily is the population booming year over year. That's not really what I mean. What I mean is, are companies coming there? Are they investing in themselves? So this could be infrastructure. This could be investing in the downtown. This could be different ways to add more amenities and things to the town. Bike paths is something else as well. So where I invest in Dayton, Ohio, one of the things I noticed is that they were improving bridges. They were adding bike lanes. They had a lot of investment in downtown. There were new apartments being built. And the great thing is, it's pretty easy to find this information. So that's one thing I would keep in mind. Is the city growing? Is it heading in the right direction? So that's from employers, that's from infrastructure, different things of that nature. So those are a couple of things that you want to keep in mind. And then obviously the price, right? If you are thinking about cities and states to invest in, I'm assuming that you probably want to either invest out of state or invest maybe a little bit further from your area. The common denominator is likely going to be cheaper than your other alternative, right? So the price for the type of property that you are looking to get, that's going to be another important factor as well. So there's a lot more things to consider, but those are some things to consider. And there's some free resources I have in the description of this episode that'll kind of detail a little bit more about that piece of investing out of state. And this one was really good. So the next concern is interest rates, house prices, and analysis paralysis. So first, I'm going to talk about interest rates. Now, I know it's very easy to look at the interest rates as being the reason for the unaffordability we're seeing right now. However, it's not that. It's not the interest rates. The reality of it, it's not the interest rates by themselves. It's more so the price. The median home price, right? And so if you've listened to my content, watched some of my YouTube videos, you know that the median home sales price in the US has gone up dramatically in the last 4 years, right? But here's the problem with that. And I know every single person listening can relate to this. The problem is that the median household income has not increased even a fraction of what the home prices have increased. So the cost of homes have increased quite a bit, and the gap between what people are making and the price of homes in many cities, it is even wider now, right? And then the analysis paralysis piece. So at the end of the day, you need to make a move, right? So for example, let's say there are certain things you need to do to make sure you can go ahead and buy a property. Let's just say you wanted to get a duplex. You wanted to live one unit or the other out, and you knew everything you needed to do. You know, you got your credit, you got all that stuff in order. You got the money in order. You got everything, all your I's dotted, all your T's crossed, and you don't take action because you want to see if there's something better out there, even though there are properties out there that meet your criteria and you have all the information and knowledge that you need. At the end of the day, it's a decision, right? And the way to get over analysis paralysis is just to know that, what is the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario, something goes wrong with the house and you did the best that you could, you just start over, right? Nothing's ever going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to bump your head, but you'll never know what can happen if you don't start. So that'll be how I would address the analysis paralysis. And just to recap with the interest rates and the home prices, like there's nothing you can do about that, to be honest with you. What I would say is do your best to put yourself in position to purchase whenever you can for whatever your goal is, whether that's your primary residence, whether that's an investment property, et cetera. You can't control the interest rates. None of us can. I mean, the Fed dropped the rates and the federal funds rate, excuse me, and interest rates were going down in advance of that announcement. And as we've seen, interest rates have gone up. As of the recording of this episode, I think interest rates are around 7% last I checked, right? So we can't really pay attention to that. Prices in some areas and some cities around the country, there is a bit of an adjustment happening, but it's not going to crash, right? So this is just our new reality. So that's what I would say to that. The next concern is coming up with a down payment and closing cost. So a lot of people online will tell you that you don't need money to invest in real estate, and it's a complete lie. You need money to invest in real estate, right? So the down payment and closing costs, obviously the amount of down payment, the amount of money you'll need for the down payment is going to vary because, you know, the price, maybe if you're doing a certain program, whatever the case is, down payment, all that stuff. But the easiest way, I would say, the first thing to do, look at your budget and see if there's more you can save, right? There's, at a certain point, there's only so much you can save and so much you can cut back without reducing your quality of life. So I would say that's the first thing to do. And then the second thing to do is, how can you increase your income? Can you get a better job? Can you get a promotion? Can you get maybe a part-time job? That's just for a short period of time and make a sacrifice to help save for the down payment. That's another way that you can do it. Something else that you can consider, this is what I did. I'm not saying you should do it, but something to think about. If you have retirement, you could take a loan from it and use that towards a down payment. That's something else that you can consider. You want to make sure you do your homework and that you can afford it if you choose to do that. But that's another way. Also, partnership. That is something that you should be careful with, but partnering with somebody can help. So let's just say, for example, you're looking for a primary residence. Maybe you have a friend or relative who's looking too, and they just feel priced out of the current market. Maybe you two buy a two family and you live in one side, they live in the other. You split everything. You split the down payment, all those things. Obviously, you need to make sure you have your paperwork in order, but that is another way you can approach it if you're looking to get somewhere to live. If you're looking for an investment property, maybe you go in with somebody, right? That could speed up the timeline. Obviously, you have to work with a lawyer to figure out, you know, profits and all those things and just the terms of it, but that could help. The important thing is just to make sure that you are going with someone you can trust and you're comfortable holding that responsibility with somebody else. And if you're not, then I wouldn't consider partnership. So that's something else that was a concern, but that's how I would approach that. And then for the closing costs, when you're in the process, you can actually have your agent ask the seller to cover some of those closing costs or as much as they can, right? So that's something that you can actually ask for. and that can help you with those closing costs. So the next one and the last one is there's a concern and an interest in buying off-grid land from the owner and buying a house from the bank. So as far as buying the off-grid land, the first thing I would ask is, well, why do you want to buy the off-grid land? That's the first thing I would ask. And like, what's the plan? Are you planning to buy the land and sit on it? Are you planning to buy the land and put, you know, shipping container homes or barn dominium or build on it? So what's the purpose for the land, right? So I wouldn't just buy land just to buy land. You want to have a purpose and you want to have a plan. And then also, how much capital are you working with? And based on that, you know, you'll kind of know what you can work with in your desired area. And then as far as buying a house from a bank, you know, perhaps I'm assuming maybe this means like a foreclosure. There, I was talking to somebody the other day. There's nothing wrong with buying a foreclosure. It's just important to make sure that you are educated on the process and that you know that it can take potentially a very long time for things to get squared away. There's obviously a lot of benefits. You know, you'll be buying the property in pretty much in most cases under market value. However, it might need a lot of work. It might need a lot of renovation in the property. So that's something you want to consider. But I recommend connecting with an agent, talking a little more about what that could look like, and just educating yourself a little bit more on that. So new format of the podcast, and I'm actually considering maybe doing this a couple of times a month. Feel free to leave some feedback. Let me know what you think. But I enjoy these. So maybe it'll be like an Ask Sam kind of segment or something like that, where I'm just answering concerns people have, questions, and addressing concerns people have, and just sharing the knowledge that I have with you all. So if this is something you want more of, definitely let me know. You can email me, DM me, whatever. Let me know what you think, or leave a comment if you can, wherever you're listening to this at. And be sure to leave a rating and review. It definitely helps a lot. And I truly do appreciate it. And hope you all enjoyed the episode. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Percent of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.